welcome to Connection Point. This is PC Connection's podcast series focusing on strategies and trends in infrastructure, IT optimization, data management, and much more. I'm your host, James Hilliard, and businesses are rapidly adopting virtualization and continue to at a high rate of growth. Virtualization remains a top priority with today's IT pros, despite declining IT operating budgets, given the technology's promise to benefit the bottom line. However, there may be energy savings that are left on the table if organizations do not take measures to improve their power and cooling systems during a virtualization project. So, on today's episode of Connection Point, we're going to talk about those savings left on the table and how to reap those benefits. Joining us is Victor Avalar. Victor is a senior research analyst at APC by Schneider Electric. He is responsible for data center design and operations research. He also consults with clients on risk assessment and design practices to optimize the availability and efficiency of their data center environments. Victor, really do appreciate you taking time to join me today, and I want to start right with that kind of cost savings idea that I talked about, people leaving some money on the table because they don't think about power and cooling during the early stages of a virtualization project. I still hear that it's an afterthought. Is that your experience?
That's right. It is still an afterthought, unfortunately. It's maybe part of the division between facilities and IT, although that is getting better these days. But ultimately, it is an afterthought because generally, IT folks only know it's a problem when it becomes a problem, and that's when they get facilities involved and whatnot.
What would be the worst case scenario if an organization goes through a virtualization project, they really redo their data center, but they don't redo the power and cooling? What's the worst that could happen to them?
You do end up spending probably more on the cooling than you would otherwise, only because your hands are tied in some respect with the positioning of the racks. And if, you know, generally you have production racks, you can't move them around. There's a lot of cabling and whatnot that cannot be undone in a production environment, obviously. So you are left with putting air conditioning where you can install it without impacting operations. When you do that, you might end up having to put more air conditioning on than usual to kind of force that cooling to the front of the racks.
Let's talk a little bit about how and at really what point of the virtualization planning project, when does cooling and power come in? Is it really at the first meeting once the IT department has decided, hey, we're going to be doing this, we're going to start now planning what our data center is going to look like in this virtual era, they have to start thinking about power and cooling at that time?
Right. I would say it's right at the concept level. Forget, you know, what make and model of air conditioning or servers for that matter. At the very beginning, there's a concept of what they want to do with the virtualization project. Right at that point where the budgets are created, they need to account for the power and cooling. Now, there are ways to, we have tools that can help you estimate the installation costs, you know, the capital costs of such projects, minus the IT, of course. And it just gives you a basis upon which to move the project forward.
Let's do this. You kind of started touching on a bit of the planning. There are some commonly used metrics to calculate energy efficiency. So how does virtualization impact data center efficiency? How do you measure that? What are some of the numbers that IT would start seeing?
I think it's important to say that the PUE, the efficiency of the data center, if you're using a PUE as the metric, there's no doubt it will get worse, because if you just go ahead and start turning IT loads off because you've consolidated them, by definition, PUE will get higher or worse. Whereas if you had planned up front, you might see a slight worsening in the PUE. However, you won't see as big of a degradation in efficiency because you've placed air conditioning equipment in line that is variable speed, for example, that kind of grows and shrinks with the IT demand.
For me, Victor, define PUE.
Power usage effectiveness. It's a metric that was created by the Green Grid. It's the total power coming into the data center divided by the IT power. So you'll get a ratio above 1. Closer the number to 1 is, the better your efficiency. So for example, a PUE of 2 would be equal to 50% efficiency.
In terms of power, do you see and do you plan for not only the power that a organization needs now, but you plan out the power that they might need in 2 years, in 5 years? How do you assess that for many of these virtualization projects?
Well, unfortunately, that is not a very easy exercise to carry out. In some cases, it's successful. In other cases, it's a complete and utter failure because a few years out, folks are trying to put in more IT equipment, but they can't because they've run up against either limited cooling or limited power or both. You know, I've been involved in exercises where you're trying to guess as to what the ultimate power capacity will be. It comes down to nothing short of an insurance policy. You have to predict what you think you'll be at, but the key is to not build out to that ultimate capacity in the form of placing UPSs on the floor, putting power distribution units on. In other words, predict for a higher capacity, build the electrical service entrance for that capacity, build the chilled water piping, for example, at that capacity, but don't put in 2 megawatts worth of chillers or 2 megawatts worth of generators or 2 megawatts worth of UPSs.
You would add those as you go, as that capacity then is needed.
Right. If you look at the trade mags, they're all talking about scalable this and scalable that when it comes to servers and when it comes to power and cooling as well. There's no need with the technology we have today to build all of that up front unless you know and have high confidence in the load being there within the next couple of months.
I was going to ask you, how do you ensure that the environment is going to be operating at maximum efficiency once we've done this project? And it seems like, at least with future planning, that still is a foggy area. You're going to try and plan the best and get things in order, but you might not really know. If your company triples in size and you only thought it was going to maybe double in size, then you just have to go back. And you have to look at maybe you need a bigger space, you need a bigger data center, you need to knock down some walls and build things out. That's just a cost of doing business, and obviously if a company is expanding at that rate, they probably don't mind that cost of doing business. But let's say that, okay, once a project, within the first couple of months after a virtualization project is completed, that data center is up and running, we've gone back and we've tweaked the AC, we're making sure that everything is working, how do we really ensure that it's working at that maximum efficiency during, a good period of time?
Well, that goes, I think, along with the planning, right? At the concept level, if you laid out what the requirements were for this project, and one of them was, well, we need to track what our PUE is or our data center efficiency is, then, budget has to be put in place for monitoring that data center. The good news is that in the planning stage, you don't need anything but we call it a trade-off tool. It's essentially an online tool that helps estimate what a proposed PUE would be for a particular data center at any particular load. And if you use that and make some design decisions, some high-level design decisions with that tool, you can at least approximate where you should be. But then, obviously, part of that budget must include instrumenting the data center to measure that PUE.
Once we're in this kind of initial planning stage, who should be at that table? What are some of the titles of folks that should be involved in thinking about not only the server virtualization project itself and that hardware, but also the cooling, the power? Who do you see? Who do you recommend be at the table during those discussions?
That's a great question. I think this is one that really burned people a lot when they're trying to move projects forward. I've had personal experience with this. You have to have the CFO. The check writer has to be at the table. The head of the IT department has to be at the table because, in essence, you're going to have a check writer who wants to save dollars, and you have the IT CIO who's trying to spend some dollars to make their world a better world. So you have this kind of almost like polar opposite incentive, right? So you need to have those balance each other. You have to have the operations guy there that understands more of the technical. And the purpose of that meeting wouldn't really be to get to the technical. Like, I don't want to know what model number I want, right? But I do want to understand what the requirements are at a high level. And just a ballpark, they call it rough order of magnitude number, plus or minus 30% is what is typically done in the industry. And just to kind of get a rough order of magnitude number of what that budget should be. And then from there, you start peeling things away. Like, if I want 2N everything, 2N power, 2N cooling, and that's going to double the price, let's say, that CFO is going to shy away and going to say, no way, we have to make some compromises. Well, then what's going to suffer? Is it going to be the IT capacity? Am I now going to ask for 500 kilowatts versus 1 megawatt of service entrance? Or am I going to sacrifice that and instead get my 2N power? So these are all the types of trade-offs that are discussed at that particular meeting. You can plan till, as long as because a day is long and you will get burned in the end if you did not put that budget in front of the right people, because you do all this work, contractors are brought in to get better quotes and all this stuff, and then you get back and you're like, hey, this number's too high, there's no way we can do this. Now you have to redo that whole thing. It's a very painful thing to go through.
All right, Victor, so that is a key takeaway among hopefully many today, that you need to get the right people in early so you don't waste that time, those resources, etc. Victor, do want to thank you for your insights. I also want to thank our listeners for tuning in. We've discussed how you, by implementing a virtual solution, can shrink your infrastructure and optimize utilization for better business outcomes. And when you're ready, PC Connection professionals are always at your service. Their specialists offer services including project scoping, solutions development, best practices advisement, implementation support, vendor liaison support, project management, and product demonstrations. If you want any more information about APC power and cooling solutions for your virtualization project, you can do a few things. First off, simply contact your PC Connection account manager, or you can go online, the website biz.pcconnection.com. I'm James Hilliard. Thanks again for joining us.